There are so many great things happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis.
It's like in the Book of Esther. God has placed each of us in this local church for a time like this.
We're just all people of God.
You know, we're all human. We're all fallen. We're all sinners.
I think we put on Christ, we put on love.
Put on Christ with us as we learn to witness in new ways, find inspiration in those around us, and look for guidance from the Holy Spirit, our Holy Mother Church, and the shepherds of our local church.
Because we're all on a journey.
Continue this journey with us now with another episode of Practicing Catholic. Welcome to Practicing Catholic. I'm Leah Hazelton.
And I'm Father Tyler Anderson. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm not extreme.
Oh, you're not.
Aristotle taught that virtue is the mean between extremes. And that was picked up by Thomas Aquinas and classical Catholic moral theology. So when I first heard the term extreme faith camp, something in me kind of recoiled at the idea. Do we want to do anything extreme? But you've attended, or you've been involved.
Yes, yeah.
And so do our two guests today. So I need you to defend it for me.
Yeah, yeah. I never went as a middle schooler, as a camper, which is the traditional way you go. But when I was in college, one of my summer jobs was at All Saints Catholic School or Catholic Church and School. Shout out Father Wilson. And I had the chance to go to Extreme Faith Camp as an adult chaperone. And I thought it was just so cool how it was run by the parishes in collaboration. Like all these different parishes work together to have the talks, to have the activities throughout the week. And, lead the small groups and things like that. And I just think it's a fantastic way for the whole entire parish to get involved with the education of the faith to their two children. So there was lots of parents that came as volunteers. The high school kids that have been through camp are, they're the ones who are like the camp counselors. So they're leading the small groups and they're like counseling the middle schoolers, and the adults are just there in case anything happens, like in the middle of the night when girls are up, staying up too late, chit chatting, you kind of need an adult to say, hey, be quiet, go to bed. They're not going to listen to a high schooler. And yeah, you just see like these middle schoolers meet Christ in a totally new way. And then when they go back from camp, like they went to camp with all people that they know. So they're able to then keep that momentum going. And I think the extreme of it all, it's just like to be extreme in your faith, I guess. Can we do that virtuously?
Well, okay. So to me, it sounds like normal, healthy teenage spirituality.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It doesn't sound extreme as in, I hear excessive.
Yeah.
I hear not moderated.
Yeah.
Out of control.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's controlled, I guess, but maybe the extreme things are like doing a zip line. That's a little extreme.
Is it extreme or is it just very energetic?
Energetic. Maybe we should rebrand to energetic faith camp.
Well, I'm imagining the term extreme was something of a selling point.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not how they conceptualize what they're doing.
Sure, yeah.
To me, somebody who joins the cult, for example, that's extreme.
Yeah.
Cutting off from the family, joining these excessive fasts. And, you know, they do all sorts of things which everyone would regard as unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think what happens at these extreme faith camps is an unhealthy thing.
Yeah.
Do you?
No, definitely not.
All right. So I'm willing to put up with the advertising gimmick of the title.
Yeah.
As long as what we're not advocating is for persons to get excessive or out of control in what happens there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think our guests, Tim and Helen Healy, who are founders of Trinity Woods, which is the home at Trinity Woods Catholic Retreat Center, which is the home of Extreme Faith Camp. I think they really go into great detail about how kids can encounter Christ in a new way and an exciting way. And then our second guest is Rob Mislowski, who is a formation director for St. Patrick in Oak Grove. And he had just taken his youth group and the middle schoolers at his parish to Extreme Faith Camp and his experience being one of the leaders for his week.
Yeah, I've talked to several other people, including priests and even bishops, who are big fans of it. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've not been on one myself or staffed one. Mm-hmm. So perhaps my slightly, you know, sarcastic reaction to the title is not warranted. It's certainly well worth supporting for us Catholics. And our two guests today, I think, will adequately endorse that view. So we're not talking about doing something immoderate mm-hmm. or unhealthy. We're talking about taking your faith so seriously that it can change your life.
Behind every unforgettable camp experience is a place that makes it possible. Today, we're joined by Tim and Helen Healy, founders of Trinity Woods, the home of Extreme Faith Camp. As founders and leaders of this unique ministry, they'll share the vision behind Trinity Woods and how it's become a place where faith, adventure, and community come together. Tim and Helen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
Nice to interact with you again. I've known you for many years, since before I and Helen's brother, Bishop Cousins, was a priest.
Yeah.
Even back in our seminary days. Yeah. Yeah, we've known each other for quite a while.
Yes, we have.
Now, for those of you, for those listeners who don't know or who have never been to Trinity Woods, can you guys let us know what is this camp and how did it begin?
So we started this journey maybe 6 years ago. We had a group of folks in our basement with Bishop Cousins, and we were trying to solve a problem. Extreme Faith Camp, they were renting Protestant camps, and they were limited on how many weeks they could offer because they could only get a certain number of weeks from these camps. So it started out as a way where we could host Extreme Faith Camp and allow more people to come. And I think since then it's evolved in kind of a center of spirituality for our diocese. That's kind of where this has kind of ended up. And so now we've got so we bought the old Heartwood Resort. So we bought like a 3-star resort. So it's amazing. And there's, you know, 20 buildings, 700 acres, and all of it was built in most of it was built in 2002. So it's relatively newer. And we just could not be happier for the place, the physical space. It's been a wonderful 2.5 years. We've only owned it for 2.5 years, which is crazy just with the explosive growth we've had.
Yeah. To go back a little bit, what is Extreme Faith Camp, and then why was it important to like have a dedicated site for that camp?
So Extreme Faith Camp has been going on for 26 years, and it was started by a group of youth ministers in our diocese, including John O'Sullivan. And it was a way that youth ministers could take their young people to camp and have a more intentional time for them to really meet Christ in the sacraments and the Eucharist, and to build bonds between the young people from their same parish. And so that's what's so unique about Extreme Faith Camp and the mission that we're on with them, is that it really is a parish-based program where the whole church can come to camp, per se. So the middle schoolers come as campers, and then their high school leaders, they are the young people that move them around the camp and lead them, and small group leaders. And then the adult chaperones come as well, and they oversee, you know, the young people on the campus. So it's really just such a beautiful mission where the whole church is coming together. And one of the main focuses that have always been of Extreme Faith Camp is adoration. And the adoration time that we have here at Trinity Woods with Extreme Faith Camp is so beautiful. And young people encounter Christ in a really personal way. And they're able to pray when they're away from the distractions of their technology and all of those things. and they really make a decision for themselves to be involved in their relationship with Christ. And that's what we're really about. We wanted for more young people. Our own children have gone through Extreme Faith Camp. And I think what was the final impetus is 1 year, our kids didn't get into camp and they were on the waiting list. And we found out that I couldn't believe it, that there were more kids that wanted to go and who wanted to experience a relationship with Christ, and we were telling them no. And so it just became just such a great a mission for us to fill that need.
So where was Extreme Faith Camp meeting before Trinity Woods?
So they had 2 weeks at Camp Victory and 1 week at Camp Courage. So they had about 900 to 1,000. So they just had 3 weeks.
Wow.
How many people during, so is it like a 1 week, 6 day kind of event typically? Or?
Yep. So the leaders come in on Saturday and they'll have 2 days to kind of prep. And then the campers come in Monday morning and they stay through Friday lunch. For the leaders, it's six, and for the campers, it's four nights.
And during an average week, or during a busy week, how many total people might you be welcoming onto your campus?
So we have two sides. We have the Trinity side, Trinity Lodge, and then Our Lady of Champion, the Champion side. On the Trinity side, we can probably 300, 320 would be the max, and probably 200 on the Champion side. So when we're running a single camp, we'll have 330. 1 week we had 360. That was probably a little too big. But right now we have 480 on site. So we have 180 down at Champion, and we have 300 on the Trinity side. So we are full capacity, and it's going great. I mean, much to our surprise, we're all really worried how the double. So now we have two camps going on at the same time. And we just had to increase the offerings for the rotations and work a little bit longer days for our summer staff. But it's been seamless, and we have just an amazing summer staff.
Now, our practicing Catholic staff is housed in the Archdiocese offices here in St. Paul. How far a drive from where we are to where you are?
Two hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Seems like a just far enough away to like get away from everything, but not far enough where it'd be too far.
Yep.
So what is it like for your summer staff? I think what's so original about Trinity Woods and about like this Extreme Faith Camp aspect of the summer is that everyone there, like they're all Catholic. That's just, it's so special. What is that program that you're running for the summer staff?
Yeah. So our summer staff, we have about 40 young people, mostly college age or recent grads, that come to our campus, and they're on the Trinity team, we call them. And we do 2 weeks of training, and then we have the 8 weeks of summer camp. And so what's so unique about our program is that they are really ministered to and growing in their faith, these young people on the Trinity team. So in the evenings after they've finished serving, we have such great things for them to do where they can really grow. So on Mondays, we have formation nights and we'll have a speaker and then small groups. On Tuesdays, we have rec night and they're really competitive. I'm like, okay, guys, don't kill each other on the rec night. And then on Wednesday nights, and they have adoration together as a team. And then we have extra prayer time after that. And then on Thursday nights, which is a favorite, is laundry night. And they head off to the laundromats in the towns that surround Trinity Woods. They end up getting ice creams, things like that. And I hear stories of them praying over people in the town and really ministering and being that light to our neighboring surrounding community. So then on the weekends, they have a chance. A couple weekends during the summer, they'll work. but then they can go home. But what ends up happening is they love to stay here on the weekends because they get a chance to use all of the activities just for themselves. So a lot of them are on our Wibbit for hours, which is our water park that's in the middle of the lake. And then they build such a beautiful community. And we had a young person leave last night, and it was just so beautiful, the affirmations for her and praying over her. And it's just a great summer for a college student or recent grad.
So I guess before we get into a little bit more details of like what it's like to run the retreat center, what made the two of you want to pursue this? It just seems like a couple of years ago, there was nothing like this that existed. And now like you doubled your occupancy in the last year. Like what made you guys want to pursue this?
I would say that we did not pursue it. I would say it pursued us. we got involved again, 6 years ago, and I would say we're both kind of a little lukewarm on it, and we're interested and thought it was a good idea. But then I think the Lord really just touched our hearts, and we both, Helen and I, had high school conversions, and they involved camps and retreat centers. So we know the magic that happens at a retreat center where you're out in nature, and you can have, it's not one talk, but you can have a series of talks and builds up to a little bit of a crescendo. And there you have that encounter with Jesus. And I would say that our kids, they've been to like 15 different camps, Catholic and Protestant, and we've seen the effect that it's had on their faith. And so, again, we were not pursuing it, but once the Lord touched our hearts, we've been full go, probably for four or five years. Maybe the first year we were a little lukewarm, but it's been amazing. And I would say the response from a fundraising standpoint is just, it's overwhelmingly positive. People know that the issues, they know that there's a darkness out covering these youth and just the lies that are being told and believed. We have to have an alternative, and Trinity Woods stands as that bright shining light, shining Catholic truth.
So are you privately run? Are you owned by a corporation or a nonprofit or?
So we're a 501c3 Catholic Youth Partnerships. That's kind of our corporate name. And there's 138 donors that have come together to make this happen. So it's a board. So the 501c3 owns it. Obviously, we're very, very close to the Archbishop and the Archdiocese, and they're very, very supportive. But we're not in the Archdiocese. So we're actually, for people to know, we're in the northwest corner of Wisconsin. So if you go to Hinckley and take a right, you go 50 minutes. We're north of Spooner and south of Hayward. But we definitely are privately run.
So in order to do things like Mass and Adoration, the Bishop of Superior had to give the okay for you
yep.
to do
that. And we've got a very good relationship with Bishop Powers. We host three or four retreats for their diocese, the priest retreat, and then a couple men's and women's retreats as well. So we've got a very good relationship.
Mm. And so the camping season for the students and families runs from when until when?
First week of June to August 1st.
Okay. So what then happens the rest of the year?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people ask us if there's a downtime. We don't really have a downtime anymore.
last 2 weeks of December.
And what's happened is, first of all, of our youth retreats have filled up, and on the weekends. And we also offer some adult retreats that churches put together. And what's interesting is that the churches put together these retreats and they rent our facility on the weekends. So we host them. But then we've started a new program, which is really filling a need in our diocese. And that is this faith and science camps. And so for middle schoolers, we have a program where they can come here to Trinity Woods and really have an outdoor education experience that not only includes science, but also gives them a faith directive and element that they can grow in their faith. And these two things do not have to be separate. They're together, faith and science. And that's something that our young people, we have year-round missionaries now. So there's 8 of them that live on campus and they help run those. So we're helping put those programs on for the middle schoolers of our archdiocese.
It's just, it's insane to think how quickly this has grown. And I think you're really spot on, Helen, by saying just like how much this is clearly fulfilling a need. What have been some of the biggest challenges you guys have faced in the last 2 years since you got it off the ground?
Food. Just having enough food, because, you know, we're cooking, you know, we'll cook for, you know, if we have 360 that 1 week, we're cooking for like probably 450, because we have 50 staff. So that puts us at over 400. So we're probably cooking for 550. We always want to go over, so we have stuff for leftovers. But that's been a challenge. Just, you know, just understanding, have the kitchen staff understand how much they have to make. And you know, we always want to have extras. That's probably the biggest challenge. And then also just finding just the staff, kind of the mission staff, and we have it now, but I would say the first year and a half, we didn't. And so I would say we did hire John O'Sullivan, a youth minister right out of St. Michael, kind of before we started, but it was just on the shoulders of maybe 5 or 6 of us. But now we've got a team of 15, again, on the mission staff, and we've got year round missionaries. So that's another program we have, where they'll come on for a 15-month commitment, and they will help serve the faith and science and help run the kind of the retreats. Helen alluded to the fact that we host weekend retreats constantly, and so they'll help host those.
So do you two live on site year round now? Is this now your permanent home?
No, we're still in Long Lake, but we're up here a lot. And I would say more now that our youngest has graduated from high school, we'll be up here more.
Our family is we have 7 children, and our oldest daughter is a religious sister with the Handmaids of the Heart of Jesus, and then we have 4 grandchildren, and so we're pretty much. We try to balance that with the demands up here with the summer camp and the year round.
What was your family, your children's reaction when you guys started getting a little more invested in the camp, and then when you started living up there more often?
They think we're crazy. and it's really, if you've seen the movie, you know, we bought a zoo or whatever. Matt Damon. That's exactly it. I mean, honestly, because we've never run a camp before, you know. And I would say most of our staff, we've been to camps but never run it, so it's kind of new. So yeah, they're happy for us, because they, you know, we're kind of on mission. I mean, I retired about 8 years ago, so this is really this is where we're spending our time. We're not golfing as much as we'd like to, but that's okay.
I think a highlight in that area with our family was our daughter was leading a retreat here, our oldest daughter, who's the religious sister. And then Tim was hosting the retreat. And then I was on the retreat. And then also my mother, and then our daughter-in-law and Megan, our other daughter, were all on the retreat. And Sister Maria Chaley was like, "Is this really happening?"
Well, so I'll add to that. So it was a silent women's retreat, and it's kind of an oxymoron, but there's nothing more beautiful than to see a room full of women who can't talk. No, but the Handmaids, they run about 4 retreats up here, and it's wonderful.
Oh, wow. Now, looking forward, the next 5 or 10 years, what is your guys' vision for Trinity Woods? What are you guys hoping for?
We want to serve more youth and we want to serve more adults. And we've the first year we served around 6,000. This year we'll serve over 8,000, and next year we'll project to serve over 12,000. And we just want to be that place where Jesus is here waiting for you. We've got Eucharistic, we've got Adoration Chapels, two of them, and Bishop Powers allows us to have the Eucharist here. And so when people come, Jesus is here. And we are expanding. And again, the generosity and the excitement is just humbling, really. But we're building another rec center. It'll be a large group space connected to a gymnasium, with the ability to open the space to host an all-campus mass. So next year we'll have masses for 700-800, and we'll invite the parents up. So now they can come up and they can experience it. They can hear the testimonies, and maybe we'll have some conversions of parents of the kids that are coming up here. And then we're also building a dormitory down at the other end. So we just feel like the Lord has really shown us, you know, just if you build it, they will come. And we're basically full on the Trinity side for retreats. So we'll have growth for the next several years down on the Champion side. And I would just for your viewers, if we still are raising money, so if you want to donate, go to TrinityWoodsCatholic.com.
TrinityWoodsCatholic.com. Yes. Yep. So I really like that idea of the if we build it, they will come. If someone is like has something on their heart, maybe like feeling that little tug towards something, kind of like how you guys started out, like not being so sure, but then just being totally on fire for it. But people are afraid to take that first step. What would you say to encourage them to take that step?
I think it's trust and courage. You know, you have to trust. If you feel like you're hearing the call of God, you know, like Peter stepping out of the boat, you got to do it. And you just know that God will bless it. And certainly he has. But yeah, I would say trust and courage.
Wow. It is so wonderful to have you guys on. I wasn't able to benefit from Extreme Faith Camp as a middle schooler, but as an adult I was. And it was just so amazing to witness like the week-long transformation of these kids. And just having like this dedicated space, it just unlocks something new for the youth. So I'm just so excited we get to have you guys on and that our whole Archdiocese gets to benefit from your retreat center.
So Trinity Woods hosts Extreme Faith Camp and several other retreats. Does Extreme Faith Camp go anywhere else besides Trinity Woods? Or is that its home for camping?
It's the home for our diocese. Yes, it's home.
Yeah. And if people want to find out more about Extreme Faith Camp itself, how do they do that?
It's one of the things is that they sign the young people that come to Extreme Faith Camp sign up through their parish. So we would direct you to your youth minister and getting involved through your parish. And so that's one of our goals is to really revitalize and help young people get connected to their parishes and become, you know, very good and active members of their own parish. Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. We hope you have a great rest of your summer and to enjoy your time up there.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you.
Tim and Helen, look forward to visiting with you again soon.
Please come up.
Yeah, please come up.
Thanks.
Be fun.
Coming up, we'll hear how Extreme Faith Camp is helping young people encounter Christ and grow in their faith.
The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
This is the show that's all about spiritual direction, talking about envy.
Absolutely. Whether it's a car that you have or whether it's the success that you're having, it could be I'm envious of your marriage. There's a funny story. There is a friend of mine and he was, you know, doing some of the spiritual works of mercy. He's noticing there's a gentleman there, kind of a row of, you know, some homeless. This gentleman, you know, he's kind of living in a cardboard box, but his cardboard box is, you know, well maintained. So he starts talking about that. And the guy says, well, you know, I may be out here, but my cardboard box is better than their cardboard box.
So okay.
It doesn't matter what level we're on, whether we're looking at my Bentley versus your Rolls Royce.
Right.
Or we're looking at my cardboard box. Yeah. Versus their cardboard box.
I guess now we should talk about, well, how do we deal with envy? And here's what Pope Francis encouraged people to do. He said,
it's The Inner Life with Patrick Conley, 11 a.m. Central Time on relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app.
Some experiences stay with you long after they're over. And for many students, Extreme Faith Camp is one of them. Today, we're taking you behind the scenes of this life-changing week with Rob Maslowski, Formation Director at St. Patrick in Oak Grove, and one of the leaders who helped direct this year's camp. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited for this.
Nice to meet you, Rob.
Very nice to meet you.
Good Polish name, Maslowski.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So where did you grow up?
I grew up actually, so I work at St. Patrick's now, but I grew up kind of all around. But then in high school, my family started going to St. Patrick's. So I grew up in St. Francis, Minnesota, just north of there. So
Yeah. So Maslowski, that's your father's name.
It is.
Like long generation time in the many years in the Twin Cities area, or?
Yeah, quite a while. So my dad's actually adopted, so I'm not Polish by blood, but yeah, so a lot of Irish, as you can probably tell. But
the red beard, Barbarossa.
Yep. Yeah. Several generations since like my great great grandparents. So.
Yep.
Always kind of in the Twin Cities, Rochester area.
So here you are.
Yeah.
Glad to see you.
Well, it's good to be here. I'm really excited.
Yes. Yeah. So what led you to your role at St. Patrick's? How did you get there? How did you get interested in youth ministry?
Yeah, so like I said, my family started going there when I was in high school and really wasn't catechized in a major way. You know, grew up cradle Catholic family, but my parents were divorced. And, you know, as a factor of that, you know, we kind of had stepped away from the church. And then in high school, my mom got remarried and my stepdad's mother was a parishioner at St. Patrick's and encouraged them to kind of jump back in. And so we got involved in the parish community. And it was time for us, my sister and I, to get confirmed. So we jumped right into it. And kind of got caught up to the degree that we were able to and really found an outstanding friend community through the parish. One really good friend of mine, Matthew, he kind of grew up in the antithesis of my family. Like they were the like front row pew, dad's in the nights, mom sings in the choir sort of family. And so he just started inviting me to all sorts of stuff at church and got to know some really great friends through that process. Mm-hmm. And then after I got confirmed, was convinced to help start leading some middle school small groups. Mm-hmm. And over the course of that process, found that I really had a love for teaching and started going to college to be in secondary education, but was going to school locally. So was still living at home, volunteering, and a friend of mine and I started the youth group at our parish. And through that, I discovered like, hey, I like teaching, but man, it would be great to teach about Jesus. And so then I discovered you could get a degree for that and kind of went from there. So.
And did you?
I did. Yep.
From
so,
where?
From Franciscan University.
In Steubenville?
Steubenville, okay. Yep.
And your degree is?
I have my degree in catechetics and theology.
Okay. A BA in catechetics and theology.
Correct, yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So then I
came, what year was that when you graduated?
I graduated from Franciscan in 2014. Yep. And then I came home and I was lucky enough that my parish was at a point where they were looking to bring on a youth minister. And so I just kind of stepped right back into it and worked there for 8 years and then stepped away from a little while. Actually worked with Leah at St. Rose of Lima for a few years as the director of evangelization and catechesis there. And then the Lord led me right back to St. Patrick's this about a year ago. Oh. So went back there as the formation director, and it's been great.
So, That's great. So when you were in high school, were you at all involved with Extreme Faith Camp?
No, ironically, St. Patrick's didn't do Extreme Faith Camp at that time. At that time, our main summer thing was Steubenville conferences and mission trips. And so I had kind of my first substantial encounter with the Lord through Steubenville. I did my first confession at a Steubenville conference.
Oh, wow.
So I'd gotten confirmed due to the circumstances of my upbringing, had skipped that first confession and went unnoticed. And so my friends were going to confession at the conference that year.
You said, hey, what is that all about?
Well, I had heard about confession. It was just nobody had kind of pushed me to actually take the step. And kind of, you know, the best version of positive peer pressure. my friends were gone. And so I got in line and this little old lady gave me this little pamphlet about like kind of what to do in the examination of conscience. And I just sat down next to the priest and said, hey, you know, I haven't done this before. And he walked me through it. And then we went straight from that afternoon of doing confession into adoration and just like, you know, really encountered the Lord in a major way that evening. Mm. And so I got involved with camp for the first time the summer after I became a youth minister. It wasn't even part of my job. The middle school youth minister, her daughter was getting married that same weekend. And so she asked me if I would take over for her, and I went, and I thought it was so great that I just kept going. And then eventually, as often happens, it became part of my job. it's great.
So now you work full-time for St. Patrick's.
I do, yep.
Right, and doing youth ministry, catechesis, yep. That sort of a
yep.
thing.
Yep.
You live by yourself with your parents, family back home, or what's...
No, I live by myself. Just, you know, on my own, doing my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it like that first experience you had of Extreme Faith Camp as a youth minister, seeing these kids encounter Christ in a different way, in a way that you haven't seen youth encounter Christ before?
Yeah. I think, you know, there were a couple of really standout things to me for camp. One was even before camp started, the experience of working with and the camaraderie with a lot of the fellow youth ministers was like a huge selling point for me. I think like just the... Like, I think one of the standout realities of camp is it puts so many people, both youth ministers as well as, you know, outstanding volunteers at our parish, both adult and, you know, teen, in a position in which they use their gifts in really, you know, incredible ways for the Lord. And so seeing that take place and then also then getting to camp and, you know, in ministry, especially youth ministry, we often talk about the value of, you know, the retreat experience, getting young people away from their everyday life into opportunities to be, you know, for quiet, away from their cell phones and, you know, all of those different factors of just having some substantial time for the Lord to work in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think camp does that really well. Extreme Faith Camp specifically does that really well because you really create this, like, Christ-centered culture during the week of camp.
Mm-hmm.
You have all of these extraordinary activities that, one, help all sorts of different types of middle schoolers come through the door. You know, it's you know, in some ways way easier to market something like Extreme Faith Camp than your typical confirmation retreat or, you know, what have you, because, you know, they get to go down the zip line. All of
hard
those
to say
things.
No to that.
Right, exactly. But then they get there and you have daily mass and you have confession and adoration and, you know, we have times for them to spend with their peers talking about their faith and praying together and also through the witness of their peers through as part of Extreme Faith Camp, we have kind of a couple of different levels of leadership, one of which is prayer team, primarily ninth graders who are specifically praying throughout the week for our campers and kind of in their own retreat experience. And then our teen extreme team, you know, those young people who are helping lead their small groups. And so, you know, to have middle schoolers that are being led by slightly older disciples just makes a huge difference. And then for all of that to come to a head on Friday when they go home, they're going home with all those same people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one area that I was really struck by, because even though I hadn't gone to camp, I was aware of other Catholic camps. And so many of them are, you know, you sign your kid up and they go and then they come home. And, you know, we had kids at St. Patrick's that were doing some of those camps. And the only way I found out that they had even gone is if they told me. Whereas this, we were able to actually walk in that journey with them, kind of hand in hand, really accompany them in a real way, and then come home and then continue to, you know, grow the fruits of everything they had experienced in camp. And yeah.
Was your first extreme camp at Trinity Woods, or was it before that?
No, it was well before that. So, yeah, this would have been, I think, the summer of 2015 would have been, if I think I'm doing the math on that correctly. So, summer of 2015 would have been my first year of camp. And at that time, You know, I think right now we have 8 weeks of camp throughout the summer.
That's right. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, great. I'm happy you guys know because I thought that was correct. But at that time, many of them were kind of spread all over the place. The year that I got involved, it was only the second year that that particular week had been happening, and we were up at Camp Courage in Maple Lake, Annandale area. Mm-hmm. So totally different location, but working with Trinity Woods now has been phenomenal. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about, like, what does that transition looked like from going to, like, just kind of random camps throughout Minnesota, or I think they were all in Minnesota before, to now having, like, this designated place to go?
Yeah, it's really been a gift. So back when we were all kind of scattered, you know, we were collaborative from week to week. You know, the theme of each summer was, you know, the same, and the week leads. So each week has a youth minister or someone similar who kind of captains their whole week. They would, you know, get together and kind of talk about things. But the factors at each parish were so, or at each week of camp for all the different parishes were so different that there were a lot of different things that we had to adjust and, you know, make work within the context that we had, as well as a lot of the places we were going to camp weren't built for Catholic retreat. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, your typical camp locations where, you know, they don't have a chapel. They don't have most of the liturgical items that are needed to have Mass and, you know, all of those factors. They had all the fun stuff, which, you know, was a huge help. But and so that went on until 2021. We had Catholic Youth Summer Camp in partnership with Damascus Missions. And that was a step in the right direction, having missionaries to be able to help and things. But then once Trinity Woods came into play, where all those 8 weeks of camp were able to happen all at the same location with missionaries that fundamentally understood the mission of Extreme Faith Camp to help not only put on those fun activities, but also to have a chapel, to have a fully stocked sacristy, to, mm-hmm. you know, have, you know, a parish liaison that we're able to work with to figure out, hey, like, do you guys have this or do we need to bring it? And, mm-hmm. you know, kind of talk through the logistics of different spaces we're using. And, you know, especially, you know, John O'Sullivan is the parish liaison and, you know, he has so much history with camp, like being able to just call him and be like, hey, this is what we're thinking. What are your thoughts? Like, mm-hmm. can we make this work? And for him to be able to give transparent feedback from a place of fully understanding what Trinity Woods has available, as well as what Extreme Faith Camp is really about, makes our jobs, you know, quite a bit easier than it once was, for sure. Yeah. So
now, are St. Patrick of Oak Grove's students this year participating in Extreme Faith Camp?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. We were at camp from June 29th to July 3rd.
So were you on site with them during the whole time?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I was fortunate enough to be our week lead this year, which was a scary task.
First time for you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I think this was my 11th or 12th year at camp. First year being a week lead, mm-hmm. but got to go with all of our campers to camp this, and we had a particularly big week of camp. I think we had 360 people total at camp.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, St. Patrick's is just a fraction of that, but
yeah, right, sure.
We're with, I think, 7 or 8 different parishes.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a great week. You know, this was my first year being back at St. Patrick's, so kind of a new crop of students. Mm-hmm. So really great opportunity for me to really spend some significant time with our young people and to, you know, partner with some of our adult chaperones and things. And
So did you like give any like presentations or mostly emceeing or a little of both?
Yeah. So I wasn't MC. Actually, we might have done a first. We're not certain. We might have been the first week of camp to ever have a priest be our MC.
Ooh.
Who was that?
Father Ryan Sustacek.
Shout out Father Ryan.
He is phenomenal and has so many great gifts for it. And then we also partnered him with one of our youth ministers from St. John the Baptist in New Brighton, Bella Holston. Those two partnered together to be MCs. I gave the talk on Tuesday evening, which Tuesday evening is when we have confession. And so, of course, you know, that little testimony I shared about my own first confession makes it a little bit easier for me to be able to really encourage our young people to say, hey, you know, if you haven't been to confession for a while, you know, you're better prepared than I ever was.
Yeah, yeah.
I often help with photo and video during camp. So each aspect of camp is kind of broken out. You know, again, Trinity Woods and their mission staff help in a lot of areas of camp, but there are aspects that go uncovered that we still have to provide from within our own parishes, and mm-hmm. youth ministers as well as adults take those on. So
there were nine parishes, that were there, mm-hmm. 360 folk, confessions all in one night.
Wow. Yeah.
How many priests do you have on hand? Where do the priests come from?
Yeah, so we had specifically because our week of camp was so big, we asked all of our leadership to do their best to go to confession before camp so that we could really focus on just the campers. But even that, we still had about 200 young people that we had to get through the confession line. And we're really fortunate to see, a huge percentage of those young people that choose to go to confession. So
Father Ryan, one of them.
Father Ryan, and then we had a total of 9 or 10 priests with us.
Wow.
So we were really fortunate, especially our particular week of camp is partnered with a couple of parish communities from the St. Cloud Diocese.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And so they really help to support that effort because they have a number of parishes that have two or more priests that are able to come up because they have some collective parishes that are working together. And then we're fortunate that we had a couple other parishes from the Archdiocese that, they're assistant pastors and things. In fact, mm-hmm. we had Father Dominic Miller from St. John the Baptist. I think he had been on the job for approximately a week before he came to camp. So
yeah, we just had him on the show a couple months ago. Yeah, right before his ordination.
Yeah. So he came out to camp. So we split up and got all those confessions done in about 2 hours. It's a good, great blessing to see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are some of the fruits you have already seen from your week of camp?
Yeah. It's interesting being kind of back with this group for the first time to see some of the fruits, especially, when we look at I'll take it back a step. One of the things we always try to do is get the group back together in some way pretty quickly after camp to kind of continue that momentum. And so this summer at St. Patrick's, we've been doing a Bible Basics teen study for our middle school and high school students. And so we scheduled one that met the Wednesday immediately following camp. And probably 90% of young people that came were our campers and people who are at camp. So you already, it's really early to say, we're 2 weeks out from camp, but to already see that all those young people are shifting their summer schedule to then show up to something more.
How many parishioners did you send up there?
We had a group of 31 people. I think we had of those, I think like 22 were middle schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, four of them were high school students, or no, excuse me, six of them were high school students, a couple on prayer team, and then a couple leading small groups, and then the rest were adults.
What does that youth minister collaboration look like?
Yeah, it's honestly one of the most fun parts of doing camp. So it's kind of a year-round task, which is one of the challenges, I think, with Extreme Faith Camp is, it does have a certain demand on parish staff to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the fruits of getting to know those other youth ministers and working and collaborating together is really great. So we start kind of in September with a monthly meeting from then until camp to prep for each aspect of camp. So whether it's, looking over the whole schedule, signing contracts, dividing up roles and responsibilities, all of those aspects. We meet once a month for us because we have some parishes in St. Cloud. We do it over Zoom, but in a perfect world, we'd get together and meet. But so we meet once a month just to chip away at each aspect. And then especially once we've kind of divided up what each individual area or who's going to lead each individual area of camp, then a lot of that is kind of done independently. And then we come back together and kind of share notes, make sure that everybody's on the same page. And
so it's one thing for you like to be on a leadership team, to put together some talks, even to help organize schedule. But let's talk, money.
Sure.
Because, another aspect is you have parents of your own parishioners at St. Patrick who would say, I would love to send my kid there, but how much does it cost?
Right.
And if you name a number and they say, I don't know if we can afford that,
right.
What options might those parents have?
Yeah, so I think that really varies from parish to parish. For at St. Patrick's specifically, we're really fortunate, and I think, you know, camp makes it easy because our parishioners see the fruits with our young people to then ask our parish to help in supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, this past spring at St. Patrick's, we had a fundraising campaign called Invest in Our Youth that specifically was geared towards supporting some of our summer ministries, primarily Steubenville and Extreme Faith Camp. And in about 3 weeks, we raised over $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Holy
cow,
one, kind of immediately offset a portion of the cost for all of our young people so that we were able to offer camp at a lower cost right out of the gate, as well as then to provide some additional funds for any families that were in a position where even that lower rate was a hardship, that we could then also supplement some of that. And then we also, you know, I think just about every parish has some sort of fundraising that their young people can participate.
Mm-hmm.
At St. Patrick's, part of it is from our fish fries in Lent, you know, different opportunities like that. You know, each parish tackles that in a little bit different way. But
Yeah, it's a great way. It seems like a great way to get the whole parish involved and invested.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those things right now, you know, once when they hear about the fruits, especially when we're doing a fundraising campaign of that nature, you know, we have our young people get up in front of the parish and share kind of what their experiences have been and things like that. So then they become excited to see, okay, what is this next summer's kids? Like, what do they have to share? What have their experiences been and things like that? So it really gets not only the financial investment, but the like personal investment from our parish to see what the Lord is doing with these young people. So,
have you stayed in touch with any of your former students, like when you began 6 years ago, and especially those who now are in maybe academic or volunteering for NET Ministries, studying at Steubenville themselves or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, funny enough, so, you know, having kind of taken a little bit of a break from St. Patrick's and now coming back, both for camp and then now tomorrow we leave for Steubenville in St. Louis or in Missouri. And a number of the chaperones now that are coming with us are students that were in high school when I previously worked at St. Patrick's.
So,
for example, for Extreme Faith Camp, one of our chaperones, Dominic, he was in high school when, you know, back when I was working there before, outstanding young man, and did all sorts of stuff like camp and mission trips and things with us. And then he went off to go to UMary. And now he just graduated this spring. His mom is actually on staff at St. Patrick's as well. And so they both came to camp with us. And then when for some of our young men who are coming as chaperones for our Steubenville conference this weekend, we have three of them that all similarly were in high school, did a lot of these things with me at that time, went to UMary, are now back, and now they said, hey, you know, we haven't gotten jobs yet. What can we do? And they're tagging along and kind of providing that witness. So
this is more than just a fun event for a week in the summer for your kid.
Oh, this
100%. Could have repercussions that stay with him or her entire life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like really at the core of Extreme Faith Camp, I think this was the 26th year camp has happened in the Archdiocese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if it weren't for the transformative and substantial encounters with the Lord our young people have, it would not have lasted that long. There are plenty of fun camps that families can send them to, but it's that life conversion that then continues to bear fruit afterward that makes the difference. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And bear fruit somewhere that like parents can see concretely, like in their own parish.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for joining us, Rob, and sharing more about your experience of Extreme Faith Camp.
Thanks, Rob. God
absolutely.
Bless.
Absolutely. Happy to share.
Coming up next, we'll share events from around the Archdiocese, including a free webinar featuring Lundstrom Performing Arts and its impact on local youth.
Broadcasting hope for 25 years. This is Relevant Radio.
Let's go to Megan in San Francisco. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, Patrick. I wanted to thank you today for being there on the radio. I was driving my third grader to school. I was just so thankful just to be able to go to you and to be enlightened and instructed and educated. And I know it helped educate my daughter and enlighten her mind.
talk that brings Christ to the world. Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful to you and grateful to the Lord for all the good things that he does for people during the time that we're on the air.
Hey, well, thank you so much again, and praise the Lord.
Amen to that, that's for sure. We're all in it together here at Relevant Radio. This is why, especially around Pledge Drive time, we talk about join the family, because we really are a family.
One big family bringing Christ to the world. Relevant Radio.
We've got some great events coming up around the Archdiocese this week, and Rachel, our producer, is joining Father Tom and I. Paul is out this week, so I'll be kicking it off with the World Mission Rosary Pilgrimage. This second location of the World Mission Rosary Pilgrimage will take place on Sunday, August 16th, following the 11:30 a.m. Mass at Holy Cross in Minneapolis. This monthly opportunity invites Catholics of all ages to come together to pray for the needs of the world, grow in fellowship, and learn about the global church through the World Mission Rosary, of which Archbishop Fulton Sheen was the founder of, I believe.
I didn't know that.
I think he is. I think he is, yeah. So this celebrates the 100th anniversary of World Mission Sunday, along with the beatification of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and participants will also receive resources to deepen their prayer and connection to the Universal Church. And you can learn more at archspm.org/events. Again, that's Sunday, August 16th, following the 11:30 a.m. Mass at Holy Cross in Minneapolis.
Yeah, that sounds like a great event. Well, this one's also going to be coming up in August. We have World Youth Day that's taking place in Seoul, South Korea. So this will be a virtual information session that's coming up on August 19th at 7 p.m. They'll share more details about this global gathering of young adults where more than a million young people around the world will come together in faith with Pope Leo. You can discover how to be a part of this unforgettable experience by visiting archspm.org/events. Again, that meeting is coming up August 19th at 7 p.m. and it will take place virtually.
And World Youth Day will be in Seoul, Korea in 2027, next August, I think.
Yeah.
And you wonder if they'll do anything with Squid Game while they are out
there. Oh my gosh,
I still don't watch that.
I just learned what that was like 2 weeks ago.
We can't endorse it for some of our younger listeners. It's very intense.
Yeah, hopefully they avoid it then.
Yeah, right. Might be a little bit charged.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, okay, for nearly a century, Lundstrom Performing Arts has been helping young people discover confidence, community, and creativity through dance, voice, and drama. You can participate in a free 30-minute webinar hosted by the Catholic Community Foundation of Minnesota and hear directly from Lundstrom's leadership about the organization's lasting impact and how it's creating opportunities for the next generation. When, you say?
When?
It'll be Tuesday, July 21st at 12 noon. You can learn more by checking out thecatholicspirit.com.
Yeah, and these, I think they're quarterly, the Connect with a Cause webinars that the Catholic Community Foundation does, just kind of highlighting some of the grants that they give and communities that they support. Pretty exciting.
I have a niece who's very much into drama. She teaches it at a high school back in the Cleveland, Ohio area.
Oh, maybe she'll have to tune in, even if it's...
Yeah, sure.
She might be interested in it.
Did you do drama when you were in high school?
You know, not in high school. I was more of a soccer player in high school. But I did do a play when I was in second grade. And I have a quick story. Right before the play, I fell off of my rollerblades and I had a huge cut on my face.
Oh. And how did you incorporate that into the text of the play?
I was just in the background and I just looked like I was wearing a lot of blush. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Next week on the show, we'll have Luke Currier joining us to share how he's navigating faith as a young adult and inspiring others by bringing Christ into his daily life. And we'll also have Father Nick Vance sharing why virtuous friendships are so important.
Well, we've had Archbishop today talking about leisure and Father Nick Vance next week about friendship. Who says being a Catholic is boring?
Exactly.
Serious?
Exactly. Yeah. You have to stay tuned for hearing Archbishop about leisure.
Well, in the meanwhile, let me grant a blessing to all our listeners. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the blessing of Almighty God come upon you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows, find us wherever you get your podcasts. And stay connected with us. Visit our website, practicingcatholicshow.com, or follow us on social media at Practicing Catholic Show. We'll be back again next week. Go.